is Toucher and Rich.
Oh, boy, well.
Or Felger and Maz.
That is an insult.
Listen to the podcasts on the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Games are only half of it.
Maz, you loser.
Toucher and Rich.
When you're that short, it's more than okay to be a dick.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak's the worst.
Standing at 5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and we are on the Switch app.
Twitch app,
that's right. Twitch. Every morning, you can see us on TV. If you hook it up to your Apple TV, you can get the Twitch app, and it allows you to watch the show. And the best thing is, we get ratings credits for it. So therein lies the advantage for us.
I got the app on my phone, and what's kind of cool is that anytime the Sports Hub does a live Twitch feed, it alerts you.
So if you choose.
If you so choose. You don't have to. But, I mean, if you want to be made aware of when it goes live. Now, we're going to be live all the time from 6 to 10, and you can watch us once again. But, you know, every once in a while, I know that Felger and Maz do, like, an after-show thing, and, like, some other people, like, do that, and it's all on the Sports Hub channel on Twitch. So, and it's nice, too, because you can interact. Like, people, there's, like, a huge message board that goes on during the show. People talk to us. They talk to the show. And we have the Twitch Master General in the other room. That would be Nick.
Yes.
Son of Mark.
Yeah. Well, for now on, he's just Son of Mark. That's what his new name should be.
That's what he still has people come up to him and says, are you Nick on the radio? Yeah. He goes, well, I love your dad.
Yeah. So Son of Mark will join us. All right. Josh McDaniels they're talking about that he is a hot candidate in Green Bay. Now, is Green Bay saying this?
Okay, so there's a news story that came out from, I think it was George Robinson of Yahoo. And they are reporting that apparently there is enough heat around Josh McDaniels going to Green Bay. Here, I'll put it right here. A handful of NFL assistant coaches have indicated interest in joining a McDaniels-led coaching staff in Green Bay. So much so that at least one has pulled his name from consideration for a college coordinator position.
Yikes. That's what he said. Is that wow.
How
what
can you ever turn that down?
Yeah.
He said, while such a development doesn't guarantee mutual interest between Packers and McDaniels, it is an indication that the Patriots assistant is maintaining a list of staff candidates if he chooses to depart New England. And later on in the article, they go through just how insane it is that a year ago, or not even a little less than a year ago, when Josh McDaniels said he was going to the Colts and then backed out at the last minute, like a runaway bride type situation, and all the coordinators had already committed and signed contracts with the Colts, that many people said, well, Josh McDaniels is never going to offer another game in the NFL. And now, outside of Mike McCarthy, he's the number one guy on, it seems, 6 to 7 teams' lists, because it sounds like there's going to be 7 or 8 openings at the end of the season.
Well, hold on. Just stop here. Remember, we talked earlier this week about this, and I asked what's changed in the Patriots organization. Why, you know, he came back for a lot of money, and it looked like he was going to be the heir apparent to Belichick, and now he's, you know, maintaining a list, and he sees, you know, the end coming, and, you know, there's no replacement for Tom Brady, and he's getting older, and maybe Belichick told him he's staying another 4 years, and so McDaniel wants out. What's changed for all these teams?
For the teams?
Do they know something about the Patriots and the situation and how they're sure now McDaniels is going to leave and not be moved back
again? It's just lazy. I think it's laziness. It's that he is an offensive coordinator. Everyone's all about the offense right now. He's worked with Tom Brady. He's worked under Belichick, although we've learned that that is not a surefire success to become a great head coach in the NFL.
No, in fact, it's never happened.
But don't you agree that a lot of it is just laziness? They don't want to have to go down to the college level and have to try to figure out who has the kind of stuff.
There's coordinators all over the place, and Josh McDaniels has not proved to be an innovator. I don't want him anywhere near my team.
He's loved by the greatest quarterback of all time.
It doesn't matter. He's had so
that
was Bill
O'Brien.
So were a lot of people.
And well, Bill O'Brien got a great job in the NFL.
Yeah, well, he got a head coaching job, and he's had very moderate success.
Well, this year he's doing okay.
Oh, Rich, Bill O'Brien's not a good head coach. You know it. You say it in interviews all the time.
Well, no, he craps himself against the Patriots.
Yeah, he's not a good head coach.
Well, good enough that he's had a job with the in professional. I mean, how many years?
Up until this year, and Houston's playing out of their mind over the last 2 months. Up until this year, has he really been a head coach you look at and
that,
go, wow?
That is the offense, point. Is he better than the other offense, coaches that have been
has
fired?
Has that offense ever been above average?
They are now.
Has that off? Has arguable.
They're dynamic now.
With Deshaun
Watson. They have a dynamic offense?
Yes. Well, right now they do.
With Deshaun Watson and you have Hopkins and you have Demaryius Thomas, who is not a strong guy.
It is a dynamic offense.
I mean,
it
takes the pressure off of Hopkins.
If you're using Bill O'Brien as a barometer of success that under the Belichick coaching tree, I'm telling you, if that's an A, then I have no faith in the Belichick coaching tree.
I'm not saying it's a barometer of success. What I am saying, however, is that he is somebody that has kept his job long enough to be better than the guys who were fired. And that seems to be good enough for a lot of these other teams.
He would have been fired this year if Deshaun Watson didn't get healthy and that they had to...
But he turned it around.
So you would want Bill O'Brien as a coach?
You know what? I wouldn't mind him, to be honest.
Well, that's a ringing endorsement.
Well, it's better than I would definitely not want him.
Okay, would you want Sean McVay as a head coach?
Without a doubt.
When he was available?
At the time...
He was a 31-year-old coordinator.
I would have rather had Bill O'Brien because I didn't know. Yes, it's
true. Because you didn't know.
Right, because I didn't
know. Right, so I know all I need to know about...
Who is McVay the coordinator for again?
I forget. But Brady...
Was it Atlanta?
No, that's Shanahan.
Shanahan.
Damn it.
I'll tell you this. Who cares? Yeah. So I'll tell you this, is that working with, having the respect of Brady means nothing to me because it's an entirely different animal.
It means nothing to you, but to the other teams, it's everything they're looking for.
What teams want now, and which is what's going to be a problem getting a head coach, because Aaron Rodgers isn't going to respect some guy that's an offensive coordinator. He's going to need someone with some sort of pedigree to go in there. And what the thing is what other teams want is a young, innovative mind.
It was the Redskins, by the way.
Fine. Okay. Yeah. And what they want is a young, innovative mind. And that's not what McDaniels is.
He's young.
He's not the new style of offense. He does not run an offense that they run now in the NFL. He's completely reliant on Brady. That can be argued, right? He's not innovative.
I mean, listen. You could say that he won with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Last few weeks, yeah, right? And they worked wonderful.
Hey, you said innovative. He's tried a lot of different stuff.
First of all, that awesome third down and a direct snap to the running back. Enough with Garoppolo. I haven't seen Garoppolo do anything.
Well, Fred, what you and I think doesn't matter. It's what these teams think, and they all right now are looking at a guy who has a culture of success. Well, I mean, according to reports, 6 to 7 teams still want him. And last year, that a ton of teams wanted him.
And then he took a job.
Let me ask you this, Rich. In your opinion, let's flush what everyone else thinks. In your opinion, if the Patriots' defense continues to play this well over the final month of the season, and they're playing real well right now, who's the better coaching candidate, Brian Flores or Josh McDaniels?
Josh McDaniels, without a doubt. It's an offensive league because everyone wants an offensive coordinator for an offensive league.
What does
league.
He do that is innovative?
Well, I mean, you take a look at it's success. Fred, you and I almost agree on who we think. I would never hire Josh McDaniels because of what he did last year. But these teams, it's the lazy decision, and a ton of teams are going to go from a culture of success. He's worked with the best quarterback of all time who trusts Josh McDaniels. Now, you do know that Brady loves him. So if you've got somebody like Aaron Rodgers, you say, listen, this guy who is the greatest trusts him with his life, calls him. They have midnight calls, and they text emojis to each other, and they make little FaceTime videos back and forth. So maybe, just maybe, this hard-to-please quarterback in Aaron Rodgers might be able to click with a guy who the greatest of all time is in love with.
You're going to have a guy that comes in and gets that organization in line, and that's not Josh McDaniels.
And by the way, a good point, and somebody actually makes it. This is not my point. Bill O'Brien finally has a quarterback because he's never had a good quarterback up to this point in the NFL. He hasn't had a good one.
Well, welcome now that to he the does, league. Well, we'll see how they do in the playoffs. I mean, if Bill O'Brien, makes it to a Super Bowl, congratulations. I mean, if he has this dynamic offense, he certainly has an elite defense. Make the Super Bowl.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know. I mean, listen.
If they make the Super Bowl, I take back everything I said about Bill O'Brien. If they make the Super Bowl or they make an AFC Championship game and they play well in the AFC Championship game, fantastic.
If for some reason the Patriots get knocked off, like if the Patriots weren't in the picture just because he just craps himself around Belichick, I would put the Texans against whoever's left. The Chiefs would win, but I would say that they'd give them a fight.
I said this yesterday. If the Patriots, for some reason, have to go to Houston, you give Houston a decent chance of winning.
No,
they
I don't.
They can't win here.
Patriots win.
I'm not convinced.
It's voodoo. It's something going on.
I understand that. The defense is playing as well as it ever has. And if Deshaun Watson continues to play as well as he is playing right now, I'm not. I mean, the Patriots aren't a layup if they go to Houston for a playoff game.
And the other
game.
Thing we don't know, Fred, is that we don't know what McDaniels can do with a quarterback that's mobile.
He had Tim Tebow.
Or a quarterback that can throw is competent.
He drafted Tim Tebow in the first round.
Which is one of the worst decisions in the history of drafting.
Who's a mobile quarterback. I think you're okay with Brady not being a mobile quarterback. I think that that's just fine. I think that that's not an issue whatsoever. If you give him to John Watson, he's going down about 85 million pegs in terms of the quality of his quarterback.
Well, I'm saying him able to like make new plays and be more innovative. Because it's tough to be innovative when you have Tom Brady.
No, it's not. It just means that you're not going to have a guy who scrambles. I mean, there's plenty of ways.
All the formations. A quarterback draw. I mean, there are ways to do it. It doesn't happen a lot. But yes, I agree with Fred. There are ways to be innovative without your quarterback running all over the place.
In fact, you don't want your quarterback running all over the place because you want your quarterback to be able to finish the season. I'll give you Mitch Trubisky as an example of someone who runs every makes one read and runs and then gets his ass
or Jimmy
out.
Garoppolo doesn't know how to run.
Or how about Baker Mayfield, who's a piece of garbage.
You got the t-shirt, man. You got to be a fan now.
Oh boy. All right, Jake DeBrusque is going to join us in just a moment.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tetra and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
Sports Up, we're touching Rich. Waiting on Jake DeBrusque. He'll call in about a minute. They put the old Christmas tree up in the house yesterday, even though we don't spend Christmas at home. And every time we do that, I realize that half the things are now broken. Over the course of when we put them away and then when we bring them out, everything is broken. Paul Stanley's feet are missing, his boots. And then it's amazing, whenever my daughter gets her hands on something that is has sentimental value, she immediately drops it. It's like she'll if it's one of those like lame bulb Christmas ornaments that comes in like a tube, she'll get them up like there's no one's business. But then she'll pick up a handprint from she was like two and just smash it on the ground.
She'll be all over the place.
Yes.
Do you, because this is the first Christmas in a long time. Guys, all my dogs used to be fat and they couldn't like jump or do anything. And now I got like a smaller dog and he can jump all over the place. And I'm worried about him. And he chews up anything in our house. Like that's shoes, like stuffed anything with a face, he'll go after. Like if it's a stuffed animal with a face, it's kind of macabre. You walk into like my kid's room and it's a bunch of stuffed animals. They're all like missing faces and the eyes like hanging off the side of its head. But does it ever attack? Do your cat or your dog ever attack your tree to the point where like bad crap happens?
Oh, you're asking if Mademoiselle Muff ever does that?
Or Senior Fluff.
Senorita Fluff.
Senorita Fluff.
Senorita Fluff is during the summer months, now that we've reached the colds of December.
Sure.
She's Mademoiselle Muff.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, she seeks higher ground in the house.
Okay.
And then, like, this is so gross, but we'll have people over and we'll, like, lay out food on, like, the kitchen counter and she just, like, walks up to the food and starts eating it. She doesn't care. And then you'll tell her to go away and she won't move.
If you reach a certain age.
Okay.
You know.
Can I ask you guys something? This is, okay. Does anybody know about this? So when we got our dog, they said that our dog was neutered. It's a boy, okay? Mm-hmm. However, every once in a while, like, I'll be scratching his stomach, and, like, phantom balls will appear. Like, all of a sudden, there will be, like, something there that look like testicles. And I'm like, can that happen?
Maybe he's a superhero. Can he talk?
Yes, as a matter of fact, he can't. No. It's weird because it's there's nothing there except for like at certain times you'll scratch him.
Does he become aroused?
Not during that time.
But he can get aroused.
Are you asking me whether things appear? Yes.
Now, if they're fixed, that's not supposed to happen, right?
My dog's a girl, so I haven't.
I've never had a male dog either.
It's my first male dog as well.
See, I think that he's get ready to lay out $400 to get that happening.
Because we were told that he was fixed when we got him. Like, he'd been neutered. But just every once in a while, it'll be like, wow, where did those come from?
Hmm.
And then they'll disappear.
I don't think they're supposed to become physically aroused when they are fixed, is my understanding. But then again, I only went to vet school for like 2 years.
Okay. It's not something that happens a lot, but every once in a while.
No, he's just got a low libido. He needs some more testosterone.
Right. Every once in a while. But I mean, that's weird. And it's always like, I brought our dog to the vet like a couple times, just to kind of get him checked out and stuff like that. And I always forget to ask them, but it just, his mysterious objects appear. And I'm like, I'm telling you.
Does he have like a scrotum?
No. No, except for when I scratch him, all of a sudden these two things
will
appear. You
got to stop scratching him, first of all, because it's becoming wildly arousing towards
him. Well, it's about like once every like 3 or 4 days that'll happen. Doesn't happen all the time when I scratch him.
Okay.
When the mood is right and it's a full,
Well, if he doesn't have a scrotum, then I'm imagining he's fixed.
But then he kind of grows one, which is
that's weird.
It's like a chameleon when you cut off the tail.
I guess. But I don't know if that's something that happens. Like, is there like a shell that somehow finds a way?
Katie,
it's the weirdest problem.
Do dogs grow phantom balls?
Katie.
Or is it Karen?
Are you pulling
it?
No, they don't grow phantom balls. That's called the bulbo urethral gland. Every now and then it gets a little swollen. It's no big deal.
But it looks just like phantom balls.
Yeah, it does. Okay. Yeah, it does.
All right.
Now, was
good. I'm not going crazy.
Like in the ancient times, did they believe that dogs had the ability to grow a second
phantom balls?
I don't know. Maybe they did. So I don't want to get too graphic, but that it serves an important function during breeding, and I'm going to leave it at that.
Well, I mean, I think you can talk about dogs mating. I don't think it's the end of the world. Doug Henning used to do a magic trick.
Beware the phantom balls!
Ladies and gentlemen, this dog obviously has been neutered. Now, balls appear!
That's the way it is. And like, my wife didn't believe me for like a month, and then finally the other day I yelled from her room, like, Mary, get in here now,
and then the balls were gone and she thinks you're good. Slowly growing insane.
Mary looking kind of weird,
you're
like
constantly
your
rubbing
problem?
The dog's belly.
That's right.
Like she's constantly trying to get the balls to appear.
Like of all things to be like hallucinating about. My husband,
oh, these balls. David knows more about this.
Oh good,
about the phantom balls,
about phantom balls.
Okay.
David, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
So my dog does the exact same thing, and it's because he was chemically castrated. The way it was explained to us is rather than go in and actually remove all of his assorted paraphernalia, they take like an injection of some kind of an acid, which destroys the tubes that connect the balls to all the other gear, but everything is still in place. And so when he gets worked up, he starts gnawing on them, and they'll actually redescend. It's pretty creepy.
Now, does he get aroused? Like, his penis get aroused?
Yeah. It'll pop out, and that's what gets him started. But then the balls descend, and they actually come back down, and he gets those muffled onto his mouth too. It's really quite a scene.
Well, my goodness.
Yeah, I thought I was going crazy.
I'll tell you what, this was a failed script for a Hitchcock film. The dog who had no balls. chemically castrated at the age of 6 months. This dog came back to hound his owners with phantasms in balls. This is what happened when DeBrus doesn't call in.
That's the kind of conversation.
Should have called in.
This is the kind of conversation.
Saved everyone the last 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you learn something new every day. I thought dogs did not become aroused once they were, but I've only had female dogs.
Yeah, girl dogs are always just super easy. But this is a whole new thing. It's a whole new thing. So he just took me a picture and said, "Life finds a way" with Jeff Goldblum. Yes, it does.
There was a Gutenberg film. He was a rogue cop with a dog.
Who had phantom balls?
Phantom balls. Like
wasn't that like a genre for a while?
Yes.
The cop and dog genre?
Yes, there was the terrible Tom Hanks movie.
Well, Turner and Hooch, like they completely botched that. And even Tom Hanks in interviews will say you know, they killed Hooch. Like, Hooch, the main dog, died at the end of it.
Yeah, but then he gets the puppy.
Yes. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make up for the traumatic experience that you fall in love with the dog, and then he dies. And, like, his whole thing was, like, everyone, like, left the theater, like, gave us, like, an F rating. Like, you know, like the screeners and stuff. And, like, it was too late to fix it, so he released the movie with the dog dying. And it was like, you don't kill the dog. So, yeah, then there was that. There was the canine with Jim Belushi, who was the star of a million mediocre movies.
And you didn't like Curly Sue?
You know what was all right? Was Taking Care of Business with Charles Grodin.
No, it wasn't.
That was all right.
I didn't like that movie
Mr. Destiny wasn't bad either.
I'll go with you on that one.
That was all right.
Yeah. Rene Russo was all right.
He hits the home run because he'd struck out, and then he ended up being, you know, poor.
Linda Hamilton, that was strange. I saw that movie after I saw Terminator 2. So I see Linda Hamilton one way, and then I see her
How do you come across the Jim Belushi movie where he hits the home run?
Mr. Destiny?
Mr. Destiny.
It was like on two in the morning.
We'd go to the video store every Friday night, and we'd load up with like four or five videos, and I'd watch everything. And then if you had HBO, all that stuff was on all the time.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I caught Mr. Destiny on HBO late at night.
And Mr. Destiny was not bad.
So you see Mr. Destiny's coming on, and it has the HBO logo, and then it goes in, and then you just sit down for 90 minutes.
And then you're like, oh, I'm sitting here, and then you just get sucked in. And it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Charles Grodin has been in some shockingly good movies. Now, Midnight Run is not shockingly good. Midnight Run is a classic. But
I don't enjoy that movie.
Midnight Run?
Yeah.
Really?
That's a top 10 for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Every time Midnight Run comes on, it might be one of the more quotable movies. Dennis Farina in Midnight Run is a top 10 movie character.
It's fantastic.
A top 10 movie character.
It doesn't move fast enough.
It doesn't move fast enough?
Nope.
It's a pretty fast moving movie.
I don't know. Grodin... He bugs me.
Don't let this guy borrow any cigarettes.
That's the point.
Yeah, I know.
He's supposed to bug you in that movie.
I don't need to sit there and be bothered.
Okay. More on number one. Put more on number two on the phone.
Yeah, like he's annoying. And I don't need that.
All these 20s are bad. These 20s are bad.
Dude, that movie.
These are good.
See, I saw The Godfather again, and I like The Godfather now. But I did not care for The Godfather 2.
It's weird that you never liked The Godfather in the first place. Godfather is amazing.
I just saw this Italian Wedding and I went, wow, this is going on for far too long.
But it's what's going on behind the scenes of the wedding.
Yeah,
you know,
but why don't they right away kill the guy who starts singing all drunk? They should have killed him right off the bat. Got things moving.
Right.
See, but The Godfather 2 is Coppola just went, you know what I can do? Anything. And he's just like, I'm going to tell two long-ass stories at the same time.
The one thing about Midnight Run, though, is that I will give you is that there was, like, music. The music from it was like, something whack is about to happen. Uh-oh. It's about to get whack. Time to have some laughs. Madcap comedy.
That's like three or four different times in the movie, this music.
Like right around 1991, like all these sax players had to start getting welfare.
Right, because they were like so heavily employed just from the film industry.
Like it was tech business. Like everyone just started picking up a sax.
Everyone saw that. Was that the guy naked? What was it, the Lost Boys theme with a guy standing there naked with a saxophone?
Dude, that's the best. That's Robert Tepper. I still believe.
Rob Lowe during...
St. Elmo's Fire.
Right.
But he's like, I'm so on drugs, I just got to escape on the roof.
But you're right. I mean, there was a period of time where every comedy movie had a wacky saxophone scene. Like, perfect example, The Great Outdoors. You remember The Great Outdoors where John Candy accidentally gets on the water skis?
Yes.
I don't even know how you set that up for someone to accidentally get on water skis. And then he's like, whoa! And he's spinning around and almost hitting things.
Yeah, and then Beverly, or even great movies like 48 Hours, which you couldn't make now. 48 Hours, I mean, there's just a whole scene that's nothing but the bus boys rocking out.
Yeah.
I used to think they wrote The Boys Are Back in Town. Have you watched 48 Hours recently?
Yes. You know what's funny? I've never seen 48 Hours.
Yes, I have.
I've never seen 48 Hours. I've seen a million movies, but that's one movie.
The moviegoer has never seen that movie.
48 Hours is really good.
No, no. There's some wildly racist stuff in there.
If you released it now?
Oh, no way.
Oh, yeah.
Not a chance.
It wouldn't get through in 1 second.
Nope.
Oh, Fletch Lives was on TV the other day, and I was
another
like,
good movie.
What? Well, it's a great movie.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm not even a big fan of Fletch. Fletch Lives, however, is unbelievable.
Fletch is fine.
But you couldn't make that.
Fletch is good. Fletch Lives is not as good.
Fletch is fine.
Fletch Lives is actually a superior sequel.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Fletch has the problem of like people insisting on it. Like, so Fletch is a good movie, but when people like go out of their minds, you automatically don't want to like it.
What's your name? Bend over. Ben, nice to meet you. Vic Hugo. If you don't send me a card on Valentine's Day, I'll be very disappointed.
All right. Well, Jake DeBrusk is very timely. He's only 12 minutes late for his phone call. Jake DeBrusk, hello.
Hi, Jake DeBrusk.
How's it going, guys? Sorry I'm late.
No problem. How does it feel to get whacked in the back of the head?
It didn't feel too bad, to be honest with you. Yeah, that was interesting.
So what? Can you kind of take us through what happened at that point? Because, I mean, it was a little scary because, you know, we found out that you were injured. But can you take us through, like, what actually happened at the time and when you figured out what had actually gone down?
I think just the play itself, I think what happened was is I kind of got, I think slew-footed pretty much. I got taken out and right in front of their net and didn't really have control of my body. And as I was down on the ice, I just kind of felt the puck hit me in the back of the head. And obviously, right away, I was obviously concerned and didn't know exactly what happened or just kind of in shock at that moment. And I got up pretty quick. I felt all right. And, the crowd even gave me, an ovation. So that's when I knew it might be a little more serious than I thought at the time.
Okay, so you stay on the bench for the rest of the game, and then when you get in the go down the tunnel, NHL grabs you, and what happens from there?
That didn't happen.
Oh, that's how it was reported. So you're saying every reporter's a dirty liar?
No, I'm saying you got your sources wrong because I don't think that was even reported.
All right, DeBrusk, you were 12 minutes late. Let's knock it off.
So what did happen? Did anybody check on you for a concussion? What happened?
Yes. So what happened was I got back to the bench and our trainer obviously asked if I was okay and how, like, because I got hit right in the head. And I said I was fine. And I felt fine at the time and I felt all right. So I was honest with them. And then I played the rest of the third period as if it was normal. And from there, I just kind of kept playing. So that's kind of how it happened. If I was to say, my head was bugging me, or if it was bugging me, then I think I'll go through the concussion protocol. Like you said, I'll go down the tunnel and have to do some things with the NHL guys.
Well, meanwhile, in the same game, you had Kevin Miller get hit in the throat with a puck. And what was it like to be around there? And was it, how scary was that scene? If you get hit in the puck, it's, that's obviously making it very tough to breathe for him. What went down after that?
Yeah, that was really scary. I didn't even know about it until after the period, to be honest with you. I didn't even know he went through the tunnel or obviously when you're in the heat of battle, something happened, but obviously there's lots of concern going on for all of us, the team, and you see him in the room there and you hear it's his throat and you hear that he's, things are going wrong and not necessarily wrong. It just, he just took a puck to the throat. So, I mean, it's obviously scary because you don't want things to, go wrong there. And then you see the replay after, and he stayed the whole shift. And, he's one of the toughest guys on the team. And it's just a lot of respect for him. And obviously, he's doing well now and recovering. And hopefully the best for him.
All right, Mr. DeBrusk, the Bruins holiday shopping event is happening this Friday. What can you tell us about it?
Yeah, it's going to be lots of fun. I think that obviously it's Christmas time, and the fact that we can, pick toys and give back to the community, I think something that we all enjoy. And I remember doing it last year, and it's making me looking forward to it this year. So it's going to be lots of fun, and you'll hopefully get lots of cool toys for some kids in need.
All right, DeBrusk. Thank you for the time. Be on time next time.
Yeah.
I'm 22 years older than you.
Sounds like a weird thank you, but sorry, guys. Won't be late next time. Thanks for having me.
Sounds good, Jake, man. We'll talk to you soon.
I don't think he played in that game.
Which game?
After he got hit in the head with the puck.
I think he did, yes.
He did?
Yes. Yes.
What period did that happen in?
End of the second?
Yeah, I thought it was early second. Whatever. There was a period. I think he came back. He was on the bench, came back and played after he got hit.
Didn't we hear that the NHL went and got him? We talked about it with Jaffe.
That part, yes.
And maybe it was Jaffe who was giving out the false information.
I read it in the paper, too.
No, but he did not get held out of the game. He came back and played.
All right. Well, listen, I saw it reported 8 ways to Sunday. Jaffe said it right here on that air.
Well, I guess we'll have to talk to Billy. When's he doing? Friday?
He's doing tomorrow. Yeah. Now, DeBrusque, that's a weird way to say thank you. Why am I thanking someone who's 12 minutes late to an interview?
It's called busting the balls, Fred. They're not phantom balls, however.
He broke up a completely good conversation about Fletch. All right, what's coming up in the stack, Rich?
Oh, well, it sounds like Bon Jovi.
Oh!
He's got a brand new wine, and it is named one of the best in the world.
I read this. Uh-huh. Those rating systems were so on point. It's like a guy for wine enthusiasts.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it's like a guy.
Does his last name rhyme with Elichek?
Perhaps. All right, here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub. It's T&R.
Heard you like to party.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
It is the stack, and the stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare. Rich, what is going on?
All right, so this is somewhat terrifying. Now, we've heard of the flu going around some teams. And remember, like a couple of years ago, it was the Pittsburgh Penguins, and they had to completely sanitize both of the locker rooms. And any team that played there was like measures that were taken in order to have somebody come in almost like with a hazmat suit and detoxify the entire place, because anyone who was playing at that arena was getting some sort of like a flu or a sickness. Well, what about viral meningitis?
Oh, boy.
Which is deadly.
Hey.
So Sam Amick, who's a basketball writer, said that last year's Golden State Warriors had to deal with a viral meningitis scare, and the details are terrifying. Apparently, an outside vendor who handled the team's food on a daily basis contracted a contagious form of the disease and then survived a life-threatening challenge before eventually returning to work with the team. So they all freaked out, as they should have, because they realized that some of the food that they had handled was during a time that he had this disease.
Have you ever heard the Ween song that's like about a kid with spinal meningitis?
No.
It's one of the most disturbing things you'll ever hear.
I mean, it's not a very pleasant disease, and it can be deadly.
Awful.
They said, well, it was bad enough that the majority of the Warriors players and some members of the basketball operations staff took vaccination shots in response to it. On top of that, one team actually practice was relocated to nearby Oracle Arena, while the team's practice facility in downtown Oakland had to be completely sanitized.
Jeez.
It was also significant enough that the dining room at the practice facility that is open only to players, coaches, and basketball operations personnel was shut down for a time for cleaning, while players had to eat elsewhere temporarily. And I guess that on top of that, all of the guys in the team, and you've heard some quotes from a few, and I guess it was JaVale McGee who ended up leaking this yesterday. He said that, I grew up in the hood. Meningitis isn't something I'm scared of. Whereas the rest of the players were all hand sanitizing anytime that they could. Like, this went on. I think that apparently after they had detoxified everything, there was a couple players that said it took about a month for them to stop sterilizing their hands just to make sure that there was no chance that they would catch that. So that is the stuff of nightmares. Now, somebody who's being very, very smart right now is the surviving members of the band Queen. They said, hey, you know that movie that made $500 million? Maybe we should tour. So they indeed said, you know what? Let's go on the road again. And they have announced.
And then they played this song?
Bicycle's kind of funny. Like, Bicycle's
is it supposed to be?
It makes me laugh.
It makes me laugh, too. Yeah. Because
Bicycle's not a good song, but it always makes me laugh.
Well, wait, who's the lead singer?
It's Adam Lambert who kills it. Like, Adam Lambert has one of the... And I don't like Star Wars. Adam Lambert's been with him for, like, 10 years now.
Oh, okay.
He was the guy from American Idol, right. But his voice was, like, on, like, he can rip the shingles off a house, and he's perfect, apparently, as Freddie Mercury.
Right, but as Freddie Mercury, I mean, you can't lose that front man, and I won't see him.
I love Brian May. Like, I think that Brian May almost deserves as much credit as Freddie Mercury, but that's tough to say.
But to see them live,
it's supposed to be amazing. Like, the show is supposed to be unbelievable. I've seen them perform with this Adam Lambert guy, and I know it's not Freddie Mercury, but it's still good enough, in my opinion, to go.
Does he chuck some choppers in there?
Like, to make his, like, teeth look huge?
Yeah.
They're playing on the 4th of August at the Xfinity Center, which means I won't go. I can't go to the Xfinity Center. It's so damn far away. I can't drink because I got to drive back. Put it in the city, man. You know, put it at the Blue Hills Bank Pavilion, which one? Although that's too small for this. How about the TD Garden? Fenway.
Okay.
Don't you think that Queen could play Fenway? Without a doubt, they could.
Sure.
Your bird immediately gives a thumbs up. Coming off this movie, without a doubt, they could play Fenway.
Yeah.
So there you go. Our favorite freakout show, Black Mirror, it looks like is rumored to be returning at the end of this month. They're saying the name of the season is Black Mirror Bandersnatch, coming out on the 28th of December. That is, of course, according to a leak, so it may or may not be true. Black Mirror, one of those shows that, no matter what I tell people who I recommend it to, I always say, don't start at episode one. Just go online and Google the best Black Mirror episodes and watch those, because the first episode is not good. Matter of fact, the first episode's enough to make you not want to watch the entire thing. That's the one with the pig.
I only saw the one that everyone loves.
San Junipero?
That was the lesbian
yeah,
women.
That's
right?
Yeah. That one is
that's San Junipero.
Excellent. That's one of the best hours of television that I've seen.
I'm too dumb to understand what was going on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why it was supposed to be bad.
Why was it supposed to be bad?
Why the ending was supposed to be bad.
No, the ending was amazing.
No, but why was it like a bad thing?
It wasn't a bad thing. It was one of the few Black Mirrors that had a happy ending.
Oh.
Like, right. Like almost every
stuck
Black Mirror
in virtual reality.
And as a matter of fact, Nick watched the entire series of Black Mirror while he was recovering and said, it was like, I already wanted to kill myself. Now I'm going to watch Black Mirror.
I don't kill yourself, Nick. I see that. Have you ever seen the Black Mirror when I get a recliner?
He didn't really want to kill himself, but he just, you know.
I didn't want to. Skelly's roast beef.
So maybe he wanted.
Nick, look at all you have. 3 recliners.
That's right. You know, what's better than 3 recliners? That would be.
I could fit 4 recliners in this thing.
That's right.
Nick, look at your house. You could fit at least 6 recliners in it.
I have my own 2 recliners.
You have 2 recliners.
Yeah.
So don't think you're anything I'm not.
And Bon Jovi's new wine was named the best of 2018 by Wine Spectator, apparently written by people who watch wines.
Yes.
Wouldn't you be a drinker?
They speculate on the wines. And to my understanding, it's like one guy. Let me see. I got to look this up. Because there is a lot of the people in the wine community, not necessarily fans of it. Because I'm a collector of fine wines, Rich, as you know.
Yes. My rule is if it's over 20, it costs too plenty. Don't want to buy that.
Yeah. All right. Let me see. Have you ever seen a documentary on how they become like the golden sommelier?
There's a movie called Somm, which is supposed to be pretty funny because it's maniacal.
Oh, it's crazy.
The levels they go to.
Oh, it's crazy. And like no one wins. It's like impossible. They have to, you have to taste, like you'll taste wine and you have to say, okay, this is from Germany, and then tell the winery that it's from in Germany or the, and then like the minerals in the sand based on taste of what you're tasting.
I like red wine. I couldn't tell you the difference between a $15 bottle and a $200 bottle.
Yes, for the most part, I would agree. I can tell the different regions. I can tell you that California Sauvignon Blanc is terrible. Okay. New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc is good.
I can tell you which finest farm it came from, such as Boone's.
Uh-huh. There's the Brass Monkey, of course.
Sure.
There's MD 2020, which one can enjoy.
Only the finest of boxed wines.
Now, boxed wines, actually, they're starting to put out decent boxed wines.
You know what kind of rules is? There's this certain company that has wine in a can. And it's called Underwood. Have you had that before? It's
no.
Like, yeah, it's perfect for like if you're going to go like, you know, like take it somewhere.
They stole that from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
It's been around forever. I think Underwood's been around for at least a decade.
Oh, they stole it from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Well, they may have, but it's a great idea.
Because they were putting Frank on an intervention and then they were pouring wine into cans so they could go around in the intervention and still drink. So there. So Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Is anyone here watching the Jersey Shore on Hulu?
No.
No.
No. I told you, I only thought there were two seasons.
Oh, no. There's over six.
That's crazy. Because I thought it was the first one, which I saw, the second one where they went to Miami.
No, the second one, I believe, was at the shore still. The third one was in Miami.
Okay.
And the fourth one was in Italy. All I know is that we're watching the fourth season right now, and it's in Italy.
Okay.
And the situation is on pills, and he's causing all kinds of problems.
Yeah.
He's saying him and Snook hooked up in L.A., and then he has a friend called the Unit that that was hooking up with her friend, Ryder.
Why do they call him the Unit?
Ryder?
I don't know why they call him the Situation.
Well, that's because when he runs up his shirt, he goes, "Baby, that's the situation you're in."
I don't know.
Didn't
he
say that in the first season?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he just would pull up his shirt, but now he's fat. So because he's like, and he adds S to everything.
Yeah, I was about to add an S to the second letter of his name.
Yeah, he's just like foods. He's like, I got the foods. And his big part of the show that he is now, because he's clean and he's not like weird anymore, is they used to have him eat a lot. So like he'll get room service and eat like an order of chicken wings, a couple of hamburgers.
And that's
like,
the joke now? Just watching him get fat?
Yeah, just him eating. Because Vinny's very into this ketosis or whatever the hell it's called.
Okay.
So he has to pee on a stick to see if he's in a state of ketosis.
Oh. Sounds like they're all doing pretty well for themselves.
I mean, DJ Pauly D, I mean, he's selling out around the world.
He's the one guy who seems to have it together.
Yeah.
Vinny has it together. Snooki has three kids. Jay Wild's relationship is back on track.
How old is Jay Wild now?
It's a 65. Diener's got a bun in the oven. All right. Tomorrow, Rich is on jury duty.
Mm-hmm.
And so he will not be here. Adam Jones will be in his stead. So we will have that for you. And would anyone like to add anything? Because of the lateness of Jake DeBrusk, who's believed... Thought he was supposed to call in at 9:30.
I guess we could just tell everyone that.
Mazel tov.
Yeah, mazel tov to you.
Do I keep my pants on or do I take them off? I get home.
Keep your pants on.
Well, thank you for everyone from Bernie and Phil's, and also everyone else who was thanked earlier. Southern Motion, the limo company, which was plugged earlier. But honestly, that was awesome. That was better than I thought it was going to be. Mark Jamelli is a gem. Thanks for hooking him up yesterday with the recliner for the recliner Christmas.
Well, they were very happy, we heard. So that'll do it for us. Bye.
The games are only half of it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.